Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes round to the north. Round and round goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness, a man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, "See, this is new"? It has been already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to happen among those who come after.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. And thank you, choir. I want to point out that we have a couple of new members. You, I'm sure picked them out as well. The Wright family. David singing over to my right, and then Evie, I think, is behind me somewhere. Went upstairs. But we're very happy to have the Wrights added to our number. Thank you for adding your talents to the choir. Should also mention that the plants up here, I don't know the name of them, they are beautiful.
Peace lilies.
Peace lilies. Beautiful. They were contributed by the family of Mary Virginia Graham. They wanted us to have them. So thanks to that family for that lovely contribution. Around 5% of the general population suffer from carpal tunnel syndrome. I think some of you know what that is. Some of you sitting here probably have it or have a situation that you know of from someone who has it. It's called a repetitive motion disease, because it tends to happen in workers who use their hands and fingers in repetitive ways, like assembly line workers and typists and keyboard operators and cashiers and hairstylists and others, to use it in the same fashion. The problem is there's a median nerve in there that stretches down into the hand, and it can become constricted. And that leads to what I understand to be numbness in the fingers and hand, and even some very, very severe pain. It's a serious problem. I have never had it, but I understand from people who have that it's very, very difficult to get through, and in fact, you need typically a surgery. 20% of workers diagnosed with the disease leave their job within 18 months. So it is a serious kind of disease. Now, the whole point is that carpal tunnel syndrome is an example of how repetitive routines can result in illness, physical illness. The repetition leads to illness. And likewise, repetitive routines in life can result in mental illness, one that is increasingly prevalent but unreported in our world. A life full of unrelenting, repetitive actions can lead to boredom. And I don't mean the regular kind of boredom that we all have experienced from time to time when we just are bored, but we quickly get out of it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what the French call ennui, disenchantment with life, monotony, a feeling that life has become a series of SOSs, same old stuff. I'm talking about something very deep and chilling, chronic boredom, when all of life is filled with activities that have become meaningless and mundane. At this stage, boredom has become a debilitating mental illness, which often leads to drug and alcohol abuse and even suicide. So it is very, very difficult. It is very, very serious, and it needs to be taken seriously. Is there nothing new? Is there no new motion in life to break the tedium and mindlessness of the same old thing, getting up and eating and going to work or whatever, and coming home and eating and going to sleep, and then more of the same. Is there nothing new? That's really what is going on in the text that Mike read a few moments ago. It's a call, a cry from the human soul for something new to break the monotony and ennui of life. Now, Ecclesiastes is so often misunderstood as the ravings of a madman, and you don't hear it preached on very much. It's my favorite book in the Bible because I think it's the most modern and most relevant. But in any case, you know about that. Some people think that the writer here has lost all of hope, is without God in the world, and therefore we don't want to read that kind of stuff because it's too negative. But what is misunderstood is that this is a piece of wisdom literature, and wisdom literature is meant to be a dialogue. It's not meant to give full and final answers. It's meant to be a dialogue. It's, well, let's see, it's kind of like Facebook. Have you ever noted people who troll, I think is the word, where you put something out and you hope you get a bite? It's kind of like fishing. You hope you get a bite back. Come on, discuss with me this. It's not, this is the way things really finally are. It's, let's hash this out. I've given you something, bite back. That's how I take Ecclesiastes. That's how we are to take the writer when he says, everything is vanity. It's empty. Everything is wearisome. There is absolutely nothing new. And what he expects the reader or the hearer to say in response is, well, maybe not. So the writer is saying, prove me wrong, challenge me, show me something new, tell me about ways that you break the grip of mental apathy and keep hope alive in your hearts and be resilient. Show me how you break the monotony of thoughtless routines. Are there ways to turn off the disenchantment of living my life on autopilot? That's really what this section of Scripture is about. So, as we read the words of the text and hear them as Mike read them, we are forced to answer, what would we say, what do we say to his challenge to us that life has become monotonous to the point of tedium and meaninglessness? Well, it's a question that deserves to be answered, especially at this time of the year, because it is the beginning. We say, new year, new life. How many times have we heard that as we have approached the new year? It's a good time to ponder that. And we have resolutions to help us. Do we not? Encourages us to live into something new because we're tired of the same old stuff. So I'll do more exercise, I'll eat less carbs, whatever. But you see, it's not that easy. The change of the year doesn't really mean much. It doesn't change much of anything automatically anyway. Astronomically, we're the same as we were last year this time because the sun the earth has positioned itself to the sun, the same place that it was last year this time. So it's just been like we're on a merry-go-round. So it's new, but it's not new. We've been here before. Because I'm 64 years old, I've seen 64 revolutions around the sun in the same old place. It's nothing new. Yeah, we're spinning through space, but we're still going around the sun. What goes around comes around. It's a big merry-go-round. So just the change of the year itself doesn't do much. In the most modern of translations, the Message, the writer comes off saying this: the sun comes up, the sun goes down, and then it does it again and again, the same old round. The rivers keep flowing to the same old place and then start all over and do it again. Everything is boring, utterly boring. No one can find any meaning in any of it. There's nothing new on this earth. Year after year, it's the same old thing. So we're just going around in circles and circles. And again, the point here is not to say this is the final truth. The point is to say, prove me wrong. I am intrigued. I am intrigued by the comments of one researcher who claims that we have become creatures of repetitiveness and boredom because of the imposition of what she calls European clock time. So in the Western world, which we're a part of, we have become too oriented to clock time. Understanding everything in terms of the segmentation of life into periods, so that everything has a timestamp. Everything revolves around that. And that way of living doesn't always correlate with the natural rhythms of life. So in other words, to break that down, what she's saying is, we are trying to make our souls and our spirits fit into a seemingly endless 9-to-5 cycle. And we do need something new. Vacations can help, but they don't always work, because how many of you who have gone on vacation continue to think about returning to the rat race of monotonous routine several days hence? We all do that. So the question remains, is there anything new, and how do I get to that something new to break the staggering monotony of everyday life? Daniel Burnham was a world-class architect and designer from some amazing structures in Chicago and around the country. His philosophy was to plan big and do something totally different. He designed the Union Station in Washington, D.C. He designed the Rookery Building in Chicago, the Flatiron Building, that strange-looking triangular building in New York City, and what is now the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. It wasn't originally that, but it is now. He designed that. I take my clue from him, and a quotation of his is in the bulletin right at the top. If we want something new in the new year, and we want to really escape the drudgery and meaninglessness of routine, we must make no little plans, because they have no magic to stir our blood. Make no little plans. And at the time, I know his designs now seem to be outdated, but at the time, Burnham had some very unique, original, and different designs. Now, I can't go any further than that. I can't get any more specific than that, because after that, it's up to you and it's up to me to figure out what is new, what is different, and how to accomplish it. But if you want something new, really new, the point is we have to think outside of the box and plan much bigger than we are used to planning. That's the way out of the doldrums of our SOS worlds, to choose to do something unordinary and grand in design. Same is true of organizations, like, the church. I've been thinking for several months now about how to create something new that will stir us and renew our enthusiasm, because I think we're really low at that at this point. To revive our spirits the way they were revived about 10 years ago when we went through our strategic spiritual journey. And of course, the hint is to make no little plans. Think big. We now have a house whose destiny is ours to decide, and it's next door. I don't know how many of you know that. We own that house. It is now vacant because our custodian, Reuben, who is with us, is not leaving the church but has left that particular dwelling. And congratulations to Reuben for finding a new home. We celebrate that. How might that empty house fit into the mission God has placed before us in serving this community? That's thinking a little bigger than we're used to thinking. Do we restore? Do we renovate? Do we create office space and give it out free to other organizations that meet our specific value statement? Or do we tear down and create a more usable structure for mission outreach, make it a true community center? We dreamed about that about 10 years ago. Steel structures can be easily built. I don't know. I don't have an answer, and I'm certainly not going to impose it on the church. It's for all of us to decide. But that is something brand new that might, in fact, stir the pot in a good way and percolate us in a spiritual way. What new thing is on the horizon? So, in addition to our private lives, I suggest that you also ponder, what is God calling us as a corporate body to do? What new thing is on the horizon that will again stir our blood? The rest of Burnham's quotation from the same source is this: after he says, make no little plans, he says, make big plans. Aim high in hope and work, remembering that a noble plan once recorded will never die. Is there anything out there that is new? Yes, there is. But we have to make it happen. The cost of doing nothing is boredom. And we've had enough of that in the Christian world today. Let us again stir our blood by responding to a call that is both big and unique. Amen. And amen.